Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Fabulous. Thanks, Ro, and morning, everybody. It is a beautiful day. Rain overnight here in Bathurst and just spring ahead. I love this time of year. It's such a time of promise. Well, let me pray as we come around the Word of God. Hey, Lord Jesus, right now, I thank you for all that you bring us in your Word. And I thank you that you are our Father. I thank you that above all that you're a father, foremostly a father. And Jesus, as we dive into your word this morning to look at that, I pray that you would teach us more about your father's heart and take us into yourself more and more. Open the word for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've all got our own journey of an experience of fathers. You know, some is great, some is fantastic, some is not so great. Sometimes our experience of fatherhood is difficult or even worse. And so the word father to so many people means so many different things. So I'm going to take a bit of a journey, my own personal story of my own father. I think there's a picture up here too. My own father, John Arthur Lloyd, born in 1945, just after the war. He was my dad for 23 years. He was born in Perthville, not far from here, and the son of a sand carter. He had a truck and he used to deliver sand. That's what my grandfather did. And so my father was born into a very simple family, a family of just two kids, mum and dad. They lived in Perthville most of their life. And then, tragically, my dad died 26 years ago. So he would have been about 77 now and still an age where a lot of dads are still alive. But my experience of fathering is that he wasn't around for so many things. He wasn't around to see me get married. He wasn't around to meet my kids. He wasn't here for those critical moments as I stepped into my career and my calling and all that I was moving into. He never saw that. And that's, you know, that's an ache in my heart. That's something that I wish that I had. And I know that many people have that same ache. They long for their fathers to see that. We long for the affirmation of a father, whether your father has passed away like mine or whether he's distant or absent for other reasons. There's always a spot in our hearts. Oh, I wish Dad could see this. I wish Dad could just give me a nod. You know, fathers are so powerful. We see power in all kinds of ways, but the powerful love of a father is almost irreplaceable. And it's why the ache is so big when the father leaves or dies or there's some disconnect. But that's not the end. That's not the end of the story. But my dad in his life certainly taught me many things. He taught me the simple contentment of life. He taught me just to enjoy simple things and be content with not a lot. He taught me the love of family, that above all, his family was the most precious thing to him, his sons, his three boys, his wife, my mum, and just the love of the extended family. He was so committed to that. He was often amazed at the achievement of his kids. He left school when he was 16, like so many back then, and worked his whole life as an optician here in Bathurst at OPSM. He had one job his whole life. And he literally helped people to see. He'd back in the day, he'd make glasses. He'd frame them and put them in frames and grind down these glass lenses and just deal with people to help them to see better. I was even thinking this morning, what a great analogy for something that I'm continuing in my father's calling to help people to see, hopefully. He also gave us this beautiful love and support of my mum. He modeled how to care for the women in his life through compassion and kindness and gentleness. And he upheld my mom above all else and really gave her a platform to flourish in life. He taught me the enjoyment of holidays. Life wasn't always fun or easy for him. In fact, it was often monotonous. The daily grind, it literally was a 9 to 5, going to work, coming back, Saturday mornings. But you know, he'd always look forward to those 4 weeks a year that he could have off of that routine. And often we'd drive somewhere and go somewhere and go camping. And he would love that. He'd look forward to that, those holidays. He taught me simple financial wisdom, to live within your means, to be content with what you've got. So much my dad taught me in that short time when he was my father. And while I desperately miss him, those things that he's given me are gold inside of me. You can't change the past, but your father's story has such power, whether it was good or whether it was difficult. No father is perfect. But the real question, though, Dad, is who are you modeling your fatherhood off? Who is in your DNA? Who is in your closet? Who is the one who guides you and directs you when as a dad you go, what do I do now? Who is the voice of the Father right now behind you? Because I'm telling you, no matter what your earthly dad was like, or whether he's still with you or not, you have a heavenly Father who actually can fill all those gaps and more and show you how to be a father. That's the most exciting and most powerful thing, and that's what I'm going to do. Though I still miss my dad, I have a heavenly Father, the Father of the God of the universe. And he gives me the DNA of the fathers, and this is what the life of a father looks like. Fathers love, fathers include, fathers set free, and fathers equip. In fact, it's the very mission of our church. That's what we're here for, to love people, to include people, to free people and equip people. That's what fathers do. And I want to take you on a journey this morning as to how to be a great dad. Now, I'm talking to dads this morning, unapologetically. But there are many of you who are not dads, kids, ladies, men who have not been a father. This message will be for you. There'll be things in here that you can take as well. But before I launch into how we can live up to this, I have some concerns about our world currently. You see, there are many fathers who don't love and nurture the women in their world, who don't honor them and respect them. There are many dads who find their fulfillment in work and career, and that takes away from their fathering. There are dads who are even abusive to their wives or partners or children. And there are dads who abandon their post and don't be a positive influence in their children's life. But I'm telling you, it's time to reclaim some of the things that fathering is probably the most important mission a dad can have, above all career, above church life, above everything else that comes and goes. The role of the father is there. So let me walk through those four areas of being a father and bringing the life of God the Father into our fathering so that we can really live lives that'll transform people. Let's look at the Father's love. Come with me to 1 Corinthians verse 13. It's a verse that's often used in weddings. But I tell you, it's so applicable because it talks about what love is and what love isn't. See, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy and it doesn't boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking and it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes, it always perseveres, love never fails. What an incredible verse. If you wanted to know what God is like, because God is love, there's a verse right there. But then if you wanted to know the true heart of a father, let me just change the wording of this just slightly. Listen to this. Fathers are patient. Fathers are kind. Fathers don't envy or boast. Fathers are not proud. Fathers do not dishonor others. Fathers are not self-seeking or easily angered. Fathers keep no record of wrongs. Fathers do not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. Fathers always protect. They always trust. They always hope. They always persevere. Fathers never fail. How are you stacking up, dads? Because I tell you, as I'm looking at this list, I'm not sure that I've lived up so well, to be honest. It's a list that I look at and I go, how I wish that was always true of me as a father. How I wish that I was always these things or never the negatives. But the reality is that we're human and that we fail. But that's okay. We've got to have a standard to live towards, you see. If we never have a standard or a goal or an ideal, I'll tell you, we'll never get there. But this gives us something to shoot for. It gives us something to be inspired for. I tell you, I read that, I think, I so want to be more patient. I so want to be more kind. And I don't want to be proud or self-seeking or easily angered. How quickly do dads get angry and frustrated? How I don't want to keep records of wrongs. And I always want to protect the people in my world. I always want to trust and hope and persevere. And I never want to fail. And I tell you, every dad on the planet wants that. We want that for our kids. We want that for the women, the wives in our world. We want that for our wider family. What I love about God's grace is that he's able to go, this is the goal and the ideal. But if you've not fallen, you know, if you've not reached that yet, it's okay. It's a simple pathway. It's just saying, God, I'm sorry. So when you don't kind of meet that standard, you can go, Jesus, I'm really sorry that I was impatient then. I'm really sorry that that wasn't a kind comment. And God not only forgives us, but he gives us the power and the inspiration to keep shooting towards the goal. Dads, don't ever give up. Dads, read this, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. Read it, get it on the inside of you, get it filled with you so that you've got a framework to which you can live out your loving kindness, your fatherhood, and treating your wives well and your spouses and partners. And if you've never had a heavenly father, sorry, if you've never had an earthly father who does that, your heavenly father models that. And I found, here's the most incredible thing. You can spend time with your heavenly father and download this fathering DNA. See, if you've never experienced that from your earthly father, it's not the end. Every moment of every day, you can spend in the presence of your heavenly father who is all these things. See, the way we are treated is the way we treat others. The way we hear is the way we speak. And so it's so important for us to be in the presence of a really, really good father. And you can 24/7 have a father who is all these things. How incredible is that? Let me commend that to you, even today, just to spend some time Father's Day reflecting on those verses on how to be a father. And just spending time, Jesus, can I just come into your presence? Can I be? We all need a father. Let that be the guide. Okay, let me move on a little. So fathers love. It's the first thing. Fathers love. Second thing is fathers include. Galatians 4, 4 to 7. Let me look at this. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Let me unpack that. For millennia, for years, God was waiting until the fullness of time, until 2,000 years ago when he sent his son into our world. That's what it means. So God the Father sends his son on a rescue mission into the world at just the right time. The Bible says it's the fullness of time. This event, this birth of Jesus and his life, death, resurrection, and ascension is the catalyst for so much. You know, well, that's the fullness of time. And now we live looking back to that moment. But what did he do? What was the point? Here it is. It says that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. That's why he came. Oh, this is incredible. That God the Father sent his son Jesus on a mission, not to make life difficult for us, not to give us a standard we can never reach, but so that he can adopt us as children. Huh. That's what Jesus was doing, adopting people, bringing in. Adoption is the most beautiful word. There are people in our church who foster and adopt kids, who bring kids from the outside into their family. It is the most incredible godly act. I salute those in church who do this consistently and just bring blessing, even to the one or the two. It's the heart of the kingdom right there. But look at this. It goes on in verse 6. It says, because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. In other words, we have the Spirit of God inside of us that can cry out, God, Father. So we are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir through God. We're not just servants or slaves to God. We're not just loyal subjects. No, we're sons and daughters. That's phenomenal. We don't deserve it. We're not part of his kingdom, you know, Israel. We've been brought into and adopted into his family as sons and daughters. That's the heart of the Father, to include people into families. My heavenly Father adopted me, an orphan, a misfit. I not only have a father, but I also have a family. It's called the church. But the challenge in this is to dads. How are you? How are we adopting others into our world? How are we bringing and blessing other people around us? It's not exclusively just for my family. How are we caring for the people in our world, in our wider world, and bringing them in? It says here that they become genuine children, heirs, inheritors. It's a phenomenal thing. Dads, love your families, love your wives, but also include others in your world, in your journey. It's going to enrich your life. It's going to make life a little crazy sometimes. But that's the heart of a father. Fathers include not just into their family, but into their mission, into their purpose. They're not just there to be around, but they're being. Now we're part of the kingdom. Now we're on the same page. Now we've got an incredible thing to live for. Life gets really exciting. So fathers love and fathers include. Next thing, fathers give freedom. Freedom. Our world cries for freedom, but our world has misconstrued freedom. Galatians 1 says this, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Paul, who wrote this, is talking to the Galatian church, who were, they came to Christ in amazing ways, but then they started to adopt all the old religious practices. So, well, now that I'm a Christian, now I need to kind of do all these things, and they just became really legalistic about the things I had to do and couldn't do. And Paul comes and says, no, you know, you were set free. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. So how do you serve other people? Jumping to verse 13, it says, you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Right there is the powerful gift of freedom. The purpose of freedom is to love. Let me unpack that. It's actually really exciting. You see, fathers don't control. Fathers set their future children for freedom. Fathers discipline. Fathers set boundaries. But fathers don't manipulate or control. That this is the most amazing thing about God, our Father. He set boundaries and he set ways to live that work well. But at the end of the day, he doesn't control us. He's given us our freedom. This was God's plan. Listen, it's the freedom to choose, even if we choose wrong. This blows our mind. See, the ability to choose wrong is still better than doing right without the ability to choose. You see, the ability to choose wrong means that we actually can choose to love. It'd be really easy for God just to, in his design, and if I was God, I would have done it this way, that there would be never any opportunity to do wrong because the world would be a perfect place. See, therefore, no sin, no error, no hurt, no pain, no suffering, none of the stuff that we have to deal with. I mean, that's the way I would have designed the universe. But clearly God has better things in mind. So what could it be? It's the freedom to choose. Why would God give us the freedom to choose? Because only in true freedom can you love. God wants us to love, and love is a choice. It blows my mind. And so therefore, God has set us the opportunity not to choose, and therefore, so much of the world has gone astray. But it's still more important to God that we have the choice to choose than to have everything as perfect. Wow, there's something to ponder this Father's Day. So what does it mean for us, fathers? We give our children freedom. Here's the boundaries. Here's the discipline. Here's the routine. But at the end of the day, go, fly, choose. Choose to love. That the worst thing I've ever seen is fathers who manipulate and coerce and, you know, just baggage. You don't want to leave your kids like that. Give them freedom to choose love. The risk is that they choose not to. But it's better to have that than for them never to have the choice to love. That's a profound mystery right there. But something to ponder. But my question for you, Dad, is how can you train your children for a life of freedom? Freedom to choose what's right and to serve other people. Pray into that and seek God's counsel and wisdom. But fathers, set their kids free at the end of the day. And lastly, fathers equip. Fathers long to give their kids what they need in life. Look at this. Our Father does this. In 2 Peter 1 verse 3, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. See, our Father, my Father in heaven, gives me everything I need for life and godliness. Everything. Everything I need is in my hand through God, my Father. Through His power. Through Him. And so when I'm going through life and I need something, my Father is just a prayer away. Everything I need. It's amazing. That's the heart of the Father, to equip us with everything we need. Skills, wisdom, ideas, direction, guidance, the finances, the stuff of life, the things we just need to live in this world, the health. You see, God gives us those things. Fathers equip. So how are you, dads, equipping your kids? Well, what sort of things do they need? If we reflect our Heavenly Father and be that for our kids, what does that look like? How are you equipping your children and those in your care? How are you equipping them to love God and love others above all other pursuits in life? How are you equipping your kids to dream for a better future, to make a difference in this world? How are you equipping your kids to treat women well, with absolute respect and where needed protection. What a beautiful thing that men grow up caring for, nurturing and protecting women. How are you equipping your kids to be financially prudent and successful? How are you equipping your kids to be creative in life? How are you equipping them to enjoy life and have fun and rest and play and leisure? Again, these things, I look at a list, I go, oh no, I've got so far to go. But see, again, let's have a standard. Let's have something to shoot for so that we can grow into that equipping, because fathers equip their kids. Fathers set them up. I long for my kids to do way better than I did in life. That's what every father wants, is a platform for their children to reach further. You know, we're going to just finish off and pray about that. But let this be an encouragement to you. These things I've spoken are not supposed to be condemning. There's some things in there that maybe you think, oh, I've got some work to do. But don't be condemned by that. See the hope and see the reality that your Heavenly Father gives you. So let me just spend a moment praying. I want you to know your Father, your Heavenly Father. I want you to experience Him. Jesus, right now, I'm praying for every dad's watching. Every father, right now. And if you're in a room with some dads, just put your hand on the dad. The blessing of family and friends around. Just put your hand on the dads in the room. Lord, we bless each dad this morning. We bless each father. We ask that you equip them with everything they need to do the role that's so important and so significant. We pray, Lord, that you give each father wisdom and discernment and courage. We pray, but most of all, that they would know your Father's touch, that they would experience the Heavenly Father's reality, and that all that He is would be transferred into all that they are, that they could live in the anointing and the blessing of their Heavenly Father and reproduce all the blessings of a Heavenly Father to their families and the people in their world. Lord, bless each father. We thank you for them. Put your hand of blessing on them. We celebrate them today. Fill them with joy. Fill them with goodness. Fill them with blessing. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray. If you feel like you've been estranged from your father, I just want to speak. I just feel like there's a couple of people right now listening. There's a big gap. It's not through death. It's through estrangement. It's through that sense of it's been something that's gone on over the years, and now you're not talking. Or now when you do talk, it's painful. And there's so much distance between you and your earthly father. My strong encouragement is to be reconciled. Forgive as much as it depends on you. Pick up the phone. Make a text, an email. Come visit. Do something that would help you to be reconciled to your father. It's not an easy job. Bridge the gap, overcome the distance, and forgive and bless. A life of blessing means stepping over hurt and offenses of the past, and it'll make such a difference. Dads, if you're estranged from one of your children, things have gone south somewhere. Someone said something. Someone got offended, and now you've got pain and hurt in your heart, and now you're disconnected. Dads, reach out. That's what our Heavenly Father did for us. He reached out. We did everything bad to Him, and He still sent His Son in the fullness of time to reach out so that we could experience again the Father's touch, the Father's love. Dads, don't leave it another day without reaching out as much as it depends on you to your kids who are distant or estranged from you. This could be the greatest Father's Day of reconciliation and bringing together. Be a father who carries the true life of a Heavenly Father. And if you're estranged from your Heavenly Father, make this the day where you come back. Just a simple prayer that says, Father, I need you. I need to come back to you. Can you let me back in? I want to be your son, your daughter again. A simple prayer like that can open heaven over your world and bring God's Holy Spirit in. If you need help with that, shoot us an email, info@c3churchbathurst.org, and we would love to just help you on that journey.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.